Hi, this is Rob Barry, news writer with SearchSOA.com, here with Jason Ouellette, author of the new book, Development with the Force.com Platform, Building Business Applications in the Cloud. Now, Jason, could you talk for a minute just about what's unique with the Force.com database and how it might need to be approached differently than what developers are used to?
Sure. The database is unique because it's a logical database in Force.com. It's not giving you access to the physical level database like you might be used to with Oracle and SQL Server and MySQL. So the database, you're creating logical data entities, and those are being reused across anything that you do in Force.com. It's programmatically generating user interface for you. It's generating basically a whole language you can use within Apex to refer to these objects and insert data into them, select data out of them. So that's one thing. The other thing would be that you are not doing your traditional entity relationship modeling where you're defining, basically normalized, highly normalized tables. You have to denormalize a little bit. You have to use what Salesforce is giving you in terms of the relationships that they recognize and special types of fields like pick lists and multi-pick lists that you might be able to use rather than creating a proliferation of tables like you might in a regular data model. And as far as security, that's different as well. The fact that Salesforce has concepts of users, groups, roles, hierarchies of users baked in, and then they map that onto the objects, the database objects, so that you can create security rules around the data entities themselves, the fields within them, and the records as well. So you can use as much or as little of these security features as you'd like in your application. You could keep it entirely open, or you could really use the fine-grained security features that are there, and that you don't have to go and try to integrate or locate or do a lot of configuration. It's pretty simple point-and-click exercise to set that stuff up.
And how about Apex? What is it like to use Apex for the first time, and what sorts of things can Apex do for business logic?
Using Apex for the first time, I mean, for me, it was pretty straightforward. If you know something like a Java or C#, it's got a similar syntax, so that's helpful. You can just kind of try what you would be familiar with from Java and alter it from there. There's the architectural concerns of how do I use features of the Force.com platform when I'm writing code. How does it work in terms of writing object-oriented code or using the database? And those are going to be definitely different than your Java or C#, but I'd say they're going to be easier. At least that was my experience, was that it's easier. And so writing business logic, you could write it, you could think of it as like writing stored procedures or triggers, in that it's very tightly coupled with your data model and your database. So you're writing your code, and you can refer to fields in your database and insert data, update data, delete data, and select data out of those things. And you're doing it all in a strongly typed way. If you're the kind of developer that likes strongly typed languages and likes that structure, likes the compiler holding your hand, you're going to really like Apex, because you can't really write invalid Apex that is referencing things that don't exist in the database, or you have control over, you have that tight coupling. You don't have to worry about that mapping between the code and the database. Salesforce takes care of that for you. And, you know, I've used Hibernate and other things in Java, and, you know, there's definitely a lot of work there to map your database onto your objects and vice versa. And the fact that Salesforce takes that away, I think that's a huge productivity gain. And again, it's a stylistic thing. Some developers are partial to the unstructured languages that are loosely typed, and they would absolutely hate the Salesforce programming experience. But I do like being guarded by the compiler, and I feel like I'm more productive. I like to know that, you know, I can just experiment and iteratively write code, and if it compiles, you know, I've got all my ducks in a row, and I know that it's referencing the right objects and doing the right things in the query. So I think that's a huge benefit of Apex, is that strong typing.
And now what about the integration piece of Force.com? How easy is it to integrate the platform with external applications?
It's super easy. That's how I started out working with Salesforce, was actually the integration side. And Salesforce refers to this as composite applications, where you're building applications that aren't just running inside Force.com. They're running anywhere. They're running in bits and pieces all over the place, in other clouds, in your data center. And they that's their history. That's what they started out with. You know, they've had an API for 8 or 9 years, and it's a good API. It's a web services API, and you can do anything you can do with the platform, get any sort of data out of it, put data into it from any sort of application. There's language bindings for Java, C Sharp, PHP, Ruby. People are already writing their own. They're just web services, and that's great. You can also integrate data inside Salesforce, so you can call out to an enterprise service bus through web services. You can call it to REST-based services. You can integrate other web application APIs. You can integrate JavaScript APIs. It's really anyone who's familiar with writing web applications and the standards that are there, like REST and web services, are going to be comfortable working with the Force.com platform. They're really not trying to lock you in. They couldn't do that because it would. You're going to have no innovation out there. If it was a closed system and you couldn't do any integration, there's going to be no innovation. They really definitely embrace what's out there and want Force.com to just be a component of larger applications you're developing. And that's the way that I've seen it implemented.
All right. And finally, Jason, what do you feel are the most important things for developers to keep in mind when approaching Force.com for the first time?
I would say make sure that you understand what Force.com platform is providing before you roll your own capabilities. I think it's there's a lot there. It's make sure that you're kind of using it correctly. It's not a one-for-one mapping from, say, a Java application server to Force.com. There's definitely some new concepts there. It's a higher-level beast that you really want to understand before you jump into it. And areas there that can be trickier would be, I'd say, VisualForce is different. It looks like a templating language, but there's some different things there. And also, I'd watch out for the data modeling side. Really start with the right data model. You know, make as few objects as you can and still have a normalized model. You know, don't just take your data model that you would create in Oracle or MySQL and port it over one for one to Force.com. That's going to create way too many objects. You're not going to be able to use a lot of the features of Force.com. They're going to be cumbersome. And it's not necessary. Salesforce has things like pick lists that you can use instead of lots of lookup tables. That's just one example. Just get your data model really crisp because it's going to pay off in terms of using the platform to build the user interface and the business logic.
Right. Well, the book is Development with the Force.com Platform. Jason, thanks for joining us here today at SearchSOA.com.
Thanks for having me, Rob.